Well, Casey Affleck, you have another film out that's getting a lot of great reviews, and that's The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. The assassin being yourself. And this is just a fascinating story where you play this man who was, an obsessed fan of Jesse James, who eventually becomes close to him and then does him in. It's a fascinating story based on a historical novel. How did you prepare for this role?
Well, there was a book by Ron Hansen that I read that was beautiful. A really great kind of character study, I thought, and of Robert Ford mostly, and of Jesse James, and then I read the screenplay by Andrew Dominik that was just stunningly beautiful and kind of ornate and strange in its architecture, and just dialogue that just kind of like leapt from the page, and so those two things were kind of the blueprint, because there was nothing available about Robert Ford. There's obviously a lot available about Jesse James, but Robert Ford, there's very little online, very little you can find about him anywhere. So I had to kind of go to the book and go to the script, and more than anything, sort of rely on Andrew Dominik, who it seems had been preparing this movie his entire life. The amount of information that he had about all the characters, about every line of dialogue, every stitch of clothing had been the movie. I've never seen a movie so thoroughly prepared. It was he'd done a staggering amount of work, and I think he made a beautiful movie. So I relied on him. I don't know how he knows so much about acting. It's kind of, he has no business knowing so much about how actors work and what makes a good choice for an actor, having only done one movie. But he, I think he's sort of a genius in that way. And he would kind of steer me. He was the kind of guiding light. And so those are the things that I relied on. There wasn't too much research that I could do other than learning to shoot a gun, ride a horse, and to be really knowledgeable about the period, like reading newspapers every day, every morning, read a newspaper from that morning in the 1880s, and just to kind of immerse myself in the period. And that did help.
There's one review of your performance in this that said your metamorphosis from doormat to predator is a devastating feat of self-transformation. I mean, it is a fascinating character you play, a guy who is a hero worshiper, wants to be close to Jesse James, gets there, and then eventually betrays him. And it's an interesting, I think, question whether Ford becomes someone different or whether the assassin and the hero worshiper are really all part of the same package. Tell us a little bit about this character, how you saw him. What made him want to do in this guy he admired so much?
Well, it might sound strange, but I loved Robert Ford. I read the book and I loved him, and I read the screenplay and I loved him, and I loved playing him. There were times when I felt I hated him and things that he did that were really hard to do, but that's kind of like life. I find that's true with myself. I do and say things every day that I think, why did I do that? Why did I say that? You're an idiot. So, I really felt for him. I don't think that he was an obsessed fan. I don't think that he was a kind of celebrity, obsessed predator. I don't think that he was any of those things. I think he was a 19-year-old kid, grew up on a farm, reading comic books about Jesse James, who was the youngest of in a big family. And no one ever thought that he would sort of amount to anything. And he kind of felt like he had an enormous amount of potential, that he was capable of doing something great, that he was, and specifically, he thought that he could be just like Jesse James. And when he read these comic books, which he thought were real stories, obviously they weren't, he thought, well, if I can get close to Jesse James, he's great, and he's smarter than everyone in my family and all these people around me who tell me I'm nothing. He will recognize in me my potential. He will make me his partner. And then there'll be comic books written about both of us. He was just had this immature fantasy. That's all it was.
Let's listen to a cut from this. This is from The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, and our guest, Casey Affleck. You're sitting around with Jesse James and some of the gang at dinner, and the conversation comes up about your character Robert Ford's worship of Jesse James, and you're provoked to talking about it. Let's listen.
Well, if you'll pardon my saying so, I guess It is interesting the many ways you and I overlap and whatnot. I mean, you begin with our daddies. Your daddy was a pastor at the New Hope Baptist Church, and my daddy was a pastor at the church in Excelsior Springs. You're the youngest of three James boys, and I'm the youngest of five Ford boys. Between Charlie and me is another brother, Wilbur here, with six letters in his name. And between Frank and you is another brother, Robert, also with six letters. And my Christian name is Robert, of course. You have blue eyes, I have blue eyes. You're 5 feet 8 inches tall, I'm 5 feet 8 inches tall.
And he's something.
And that was Brad Pitt laughing at the end, playing Jesse James. Our guest, Casey Affleck, was the Bob Ford, a member of his gang at the time. What led Robert Ford to assassinate Jesse James? I mean, if he seemed to worship and seemed to know so much about him.
Well, that scene that you just played is a bit of a pivotal moment in the movie. It's funny to hear it. I've seen the movie twice. I've never just listened to it, and it seems like a different scene to me. Hmm. I just hear different things. It's such a halting delivery of that speech, and kind of weird. I mean, I'm smiling in that scene a little bit, kind of smirking and shy, and seemed like a little girl in love or something. And just listening to it just sounds bizarre. But, you know, I think what follows that scene is they make fun of him. He sort of confesses that he has, you know, thinks that he's just like Jesse James. And and he's embarrassed, and he gets his feelings hurt. And the next day, he goes to the police. You know, it's just a kind of young, rash, impetuous, silly decision, because he's got such hurt feelings that he just lashes out by getting on his horse and going to town and telling the police that he knows where Jesse is and he could turn him in. Now that decision is something he just can't undo. Now now the police know who he is, and they kind of trap him. They don't leave him alone, and they say basically, if you don't capture or kill Jesse James, you're going to jail. And kind of, you know, they just keep pressuring him, and he has to do this thing he never wanted to do. He didn't want to kill Jesse James. It's not Mark David Chapman. He's not crazy. He's not. He didn't want to think he was replacing him. He just put himself in a spot he couldn't get out of. Of course, what happens is that after he does kill him, he gets sort of the thing that he always wanted. He gets, the whole country sees him. He's more recognizable than the president of the United States of America. It's a really, really big deal in the country.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Casey Affleck. His new film is Gone Baby Gone. Well, a lot of folks know that you and your brother Ben and Matt Damon all grew up in the same neighborhood in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What got you interested in acting originally?
My mother's best friend in college became a local casting director in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Our families were pretty close. She used to bring Ben and me in, and with her children, and to be extras in movies when we were in school, you know, just little kids, 10 years old. And I didn't really care much about the movies. I just thought, like, well, this is a day off from school. I can graze over, you know, the craft service table for 8 hours. It was more candy than I'd ever gotten to eat. And, you know, you walk away with $15, and, you know, which my mom let me keep. So it was a fortune, and it was a lot of fun. So and then she would bring us in for, like, local, you know, commercials, like the weather commercial and the local news station, that kind of thing. And I kind of thought, like, wow, I'm incredible. I'm getting every part I auditioned for. It turns out that it was, I think she was only bringing me in. I was the only person auditioning. I was the only kid who had a mom that would let them, like, take 2 days off from school and go stand under a rain machine to do an ad for the weather guy. And but that gave me some confidence.
You
and,
were good, yeah.
And then I, you know, the truth is, it wasn't until high school that, there was a guy named Jerry Specka, who was one of those teachers you kind of just hope your kid gets once in his 12 years of education, and And Ben and Matt and I, and a bunch of other working, professional, talented actors, even a guy that's in Gone Baby Gone, he plays the child molester, Corman Earl. He had all of us as students, and he sort of inspired us all. I was playing baseball and, you know, throwing rocks around the street. I didn't have any, I didn't want to be an actor. And it wasn't until, one summer I went and did the summer musical, mostly because it was like 19 girls and it was me and that's it. And you kind of got to spend the summer that way. And that seemed a lot better than like sitting on the bench and the baseball summer league, because I was smaller than everyone by that time. So I said, well, I'm going to go do this. Turns out I was tone deaf. They cut all my my solos, but it was a lot of fun. And then the next year I signed up for the drama class and I found that guy, Jerry Specka, and I've never really wanted to do anything else since then. And I think that Matt and Ben kind of both feel the same way and had the same experience with Jerry.
Well, you now have these two films, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Gone Baby Gone, you know, both starring roles for you. Both have gotten great reviews. And I wonder, you may now have all kinds of new career options opening up for you. Do you know what you want to do next? Are there things that you haven't done that you want to?
There are so many people that I've always wanted to work with. And there, I've watched in the past 20 years so many scripts kind of just passed me by that I thought were great and that I was excited and wanted to work on. And if nothing else happens, I hope that I just get an opportunity to work with one of those people. Or I have to say I've been also very lucky. I've worked with Gus, I worked with Ben and Steven Soderbergh and Andrew Dominik. You know, I think that Andrew is probably one of the great is one of the great working directors of our time. I think that he's just extremely, extremely talented about movies, as a director. And I would like to find people like that to work with. If I could, I'd just work with Andrew, with Gus and with Ben and Steven. So I feel pretty lucky to have worked with the people I have, but I also kind of, I'm hungry, I guess. I'm hungry for to kind of try different things and work with different people.
Well, I wish you the best with it. And thanks so much for spending some time with us, Casey Affleck.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Casey Affleck stars in two new films, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Gone Baby Gone. You can download a podcast of the show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Joan Tuohy-Westman, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, Sam Brigger, and Jonathan Menjivar. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies. We'll close today with this 1956 recording featuring the late saxophonist Zoot Sims. Today's his birthday. He would have been 82.